Good morning, and good morning to you too. This is Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall, and I'm glad that we have another morning together on WBAI 99.5 FM and all of you listening on WBAI.org, whenever they may be, whatever time you may be in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I know there's been a lot going on right now, and there's so much that I could touch on, but there's something that's been on my mind for years, and today is the day I'm going to get it off of my chest. It has been weighing me down, and that is the word and the use of the word dark. Dark. It's gotten to the point where it is like fingernails scratching across my brain when everything that is bad is dark. There used to be a joke that, oh, yes, I can't remember the comedian who said, well, we have angel food cake that's white, and then we have the devil's food cake that's dark. And he went through this whole litany of ways in which lightness is seen as something wonderful and cheerful and hopeful, and the opposite of that. And we're using the word dark to mean any time that is bad. It's dark. Well, these are dark days. Well, this is the darkest period of my life. We're going to leave the darkness and go into the light. And I'm not one of these people who wants to stop vocabulary. I'm a writer. I want people to use their vocabulary. And is it that people have fallen so far from any descriptive word that dark means everything, that we cannot think beyond any other words to speak of something bad other than dark? I mean, it's not that I want to take dark away from its usage. Dark, based on the dictionary that I looked at, the thesaurus and Oxford Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, dark seems to mean, from what I saw, the absence of light. That was dark. Darkness is a period of stagnation and decline, secrecy and ignorance, murky. Those are some of the words that I saw listed under the word dark in the dictionary and the thesaurus. But I'm just looking at this from the standpoint of a person of color, and I'm just wondering, have we really overused dark? I just want you to just think about the last time you used the word dark to mean frightening. Did you actually mean despairing? Did you mean horrible? When you heard the word dark being used on television, was the speaker actually saying it was a sad time, a hopeless time? Perhaps they really wanted to say it was terrifying or terrible. Or were they in a desperate way? And I'm just using some of these other words that could be used, should be used, and I hope will be used in the future when we fall back on the word dark to encompass everything negative that could possibly have happened to a person. The tornado came through. Oh, these are dark times. The person is ill. This is a dark era. Financial tragedy. Oh, these are dark economic times. It's a fallback word for anything negative. And people may mean terrifying. They may mean that they're grieving. They may mean that these are sorrowful times. That may be what it is. But I am just so concerned about the overuse of the word dark. And as we go into these issues of concern around the world, in our country, in our communities, understand that words have power. And I'll give you this example. I was with a group, a grieving group, when I lost my husband. And they all would go around, oh, this is such a dark time for me, such a dark, dark era. Oh, I just feel weighed down by these dark feelings. And so I decided, after hearing dark being used to describe their grieving, their sorrow, their desperation, I was grieving. I was sorrowful. I felt hopeless. And yet I'm sitting there, the only person of color in the midst of 20 white people in the room. And I thought to myself, I am not going to use dark to describe what it is I feel. I decided I'm going to use the word pale. And so I said, these are pale times. There's just a lack of any color at all. These are sad, sad, pale, pale, colorless times. And I saw the older white gentleman across from me. And by the time I'd used pale the third time, I could see him kind of twitch. And I saw him kind of look. And there was a discomfort with the word pale. And then I realized he was feeling what I had been feeling. All of those times when I'm hearing dark being used in such despairing terms, dark being used to describe the worst time period in a person's life, dark being used to describe tragedy and what's terrifying and sorrowful and horrible and despairing and frightening, dark being used to describe what's sad. So I just want you to think about it, not just from the standpoint of vocabulary. Expand your vocabulary. Let's use some other words. You writers out there, those people in the media, others who have been using dark as this fallback, you teachers out there, if you have a chance to tell other teachers that we keep throwing this word dark out in a time period by the time we get to 2045, if we're blessed to see that year that this country will be a majority of people of color, dark cannot represent your worst moments. I just think that some of the topics that we've been able to not just address, but spend time on, and that's what you don't get in commercial news, that you don't get that in commercial radio, you don't get it in commercial television, because they are spending so much time trying to pay the salaries of all those people we see. And they're nice people. I've met some of them. But their job and their ability to give you what news they do, what quote unquote news they are giving you. And then we know from this Dominion suit with Fox News that it was all just a circus act in order to keep their ratings going. A circus act, a performance. They knew they were lying. And for those listeners, and that's John and Staten Island and the rest of you who've gone out of your way to make sure that I know that if I say anything that criticizes Trump, you're going to jump on my line and you'll probably do it again sometime soon. But what do you think of this? What do you think of the Dominion lawsuit? Those people who are the Trump supporters who have followed him, and some of you know, you're probably, you know, friends of, relatives of people who stormed the Capitol in that lynch mob. What do you think now? Now that the Dominion lawsuit brought to light evidence, not just that Tucker Carlson and others were lying to you when they knew the truth behind the closed doors, they were, you know, deriding Trump. They knew he was a liar. They knew that he had lost the election. He knew he lost the election. And yet he and the Republicans and Fox News manipulated people who wanted to have a leader who had their interests at heart, wanted to have that leader. And they went out of their way to give the little money they had during a time of economic strife, to take time out of their lives, to go to rallies, to probably break with their relatives and their friends. I know I lost a very good friend over Trump who actually believed these things. African-American woman with four children and an African-American husband who actually believed in Trump, actually believed in the lies of the election was stolen. How do you feel now? And I'm not saying that to throw anything in your face. I'm saying that because I don't think anybody's ever even asked you that question. How do you feel? Do you feel betrayed? Are you going to hang on to this sense that the election was indeed stolen? Are you going to deny that we have a legitimate president in the White House when you see the evidence from the very people who told you that the election was stolen How they laughed and mocked the sincere hopes of millions of American people who had voted for Trump and lost. And I have voted for candidates who have lost. I know the feeling, the sadness. I know the hurt and the sense that I wasted my vote. Why did I put all this energy? I don't know why I invest in these people and they come up short. And then you start again. This did not allow that healing to take place to start again. The lies about Trump being a victim, that he even took money from you afterwards, using what he was doing, that he knew he was doing was wrong, and so did Fox and all these people, using that to raise more money for a reelection campaign without ever thinking of the sincerity of the people who wanted to believe in this man, wanted to believe that he cared, this multimillionaire who didn't pay his own bills and then undermined the working people who actually gave their hard-earned money to him and their beliefs to him. And they never apologized to you. None of them ever came back and said, what about the heartbroken people who are now confused and wondering whom to believe? We're going to take one more musical break, and we're going to come back with Manuel Gomez. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. That is the pledge line. 212-209-2950. I don't think you've heard those words, those questions asked on any other broadcast show, television or radio, podcast or blog. How do the people feel? How are you taking in all this evidence of this duplicity, the lying and betrayal of the Republican Party, of the conservatives, who all they cared about was keeping that money, your money, rolling into their pockets so they could run for reelection, so they can keep the commercials going without thinking that you sincerely believed in a candidate and just wanted to have that candidate represent you and your issues. We may not agree on those issues, but you had the right to want the candidate to support your viewpoints, and you had the right to vote for somebody and have a belief in the system and to be betrayed this way by Fox News, to be betrayed this way by Donald Trump and the Republican Party. That's something that is really not just undermining for our democratic system, but undermining as far as the belief in the Republican Party, where people were starting to not believe in parties at all anyway. How are you bringing all that in? How are you thinking it through? How are you able to decipher? And please don't say you're going to believe the lies anyway, just because you've already invested in them. This is a time to think. Think about it. And we have one man who has been able to do things that are beyond anything I've ever seen in a human being ever. And that is Manuel Gomez. And he is a private investigator, a former Marine, former New York police officer, and someone who has not just drafted legislation to reform the prosecutor's office, drafter of legislation to reform the judicial system, but he has lobbied for this legislation and fought hard and been such a hero to me. Good morning, Manuel.
Good morning, Gloria, and thank you for having me back on the show. I want to say thank you, and I hope the supporters out there support you, because having a show like yours that brings out the injustices and exposes it on the level that you do, it's crucially needed for the public. I mean, this, your show to me is like a 911 agency. It puts it out there and it lets it know that there's a problem that needs to be solved. So I want to say thank you.
Well, I bless you, and I want you to be surrounded by God's full armor of protection. And I'm saying that from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Let no harm come to you, and let your body be healed and your mind be peaceful. You have done so much good work for the world, not just in New York City, but around the country and outside the country. Tell us about the cases you're working on now.
Well, regarding outside of New York City, I recently got called on a case for Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know if you remember the Tyree Nichol case where the five officers beat that kid to death. This is called the Scorpion Unit, Memphis, Tennessee. Well, long story short, they did it again. They just killed another young black male roughly about a month and a half ago. The family called me and asked me to keep the name a little bit confidential, but I'm not going to say the name. I'm just going to talk about the case. The young black man was riding in a white Lexus in Memphis, Tennessee. The Scorpion Unit, which is the same unit of police officers that killed, I think his last name was Nichols, if I'm correct?
Yes, Tyree Nichols, yes.
The same unit that killed him stopped this three black males in a white Infiniti. When they stopped the car, they found nothing, all right? They pulled their guns out. They wind up killing a 17-year-old young man. They shot him five times. The funny thing about this, well, not the funny thing, the sad thing about this case is the police this time prevented all the body cam footage from being released, even though that the lawyer for the mother has, you know, asked for it, even though that they put in court orders for the footage and for the evidence, and they've just kept hush-hush. And the reason why, there was no gun on this kid. From what I found out in the investigation so far, the only thing they found in the car is a chapstick. So they had no drugs, no gun. The other two black males ran away in fear because of what the cops were doing. And now here's the irony of this thing. Nobody questioned the two other black males that were in the car. So you have a shooting with the same unit that killed Tyree Nichols, same police department in Memphis, Tennessee. I get called 11 o'clock at night from this mother in tears saying, you know, we're trying everything we can. Can you come down here and help us? So unfortunately, this is the case that I'm working on. And then, you know, it's just the corruption. It never stops. You know, I mean, the reason why you see this corruption duplicated in state after state after state after state is because they copy the NYPD's police patrol guide procedures. So you see a lot of these procedures being duplicated in all these states. And now it's not just white cops killing black cops, I mean black people. It's black cops killing black people as well, because they're taught to think that it's us against you, the cops against the public. But when you swear your oath is we're here to protect and serve the public, not violate and abuse and murder the public. And this is the problem that we have. You know, being a former cop, I remember in the police academy, them teaching, you know, us all the proper ways and the way you're supposed to do things and protect people's rights and read the Miranda rights and everything. But then when you're in the academy, you would always hear the instructor say, well, we're going to teach you the right way, but when you go to the street, it's going to be totally different. You're not going to do any of this. And it's insane, because that's the problem. And this is why you see it nationwide. And you see the same problem, the same techniques being duplicated. And remember, New York City, to me, is the epicenter of this corruption, because this patrol guide is copied in 38 states. Listen to that. 38 states. So this is why we're having such a problem. Like I said, I mean, it's even to the point where we have black killing black, because they literally almost brainwashed them to believe that it's the public against them, rather than we're here to serve and protect the public. You know, this is one of the big reasons and problems I had in the apartment from the first day. And so this is one of the unfortunate cases that I'm working on, you know, and I wanted to get your take on what do you think about the Tyree Nichols case, and then this happening again, now 2 months later, with the same police unit, the Scorpion unit of Memphis, Tennessee.
I remember being in Philadelphia and hearing this one-on-one conversation with a black female police officer there. You know, this isn't about being black. This is about being blue. And so this whole idea that I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm blue. And then I saw her later. And I mean, what the shell of her that was left, because she saw them plant evidence on a black college student who had just finished his last final. He was a senior and he had in his hand a can of beer and it wasn't in a brown paper bag. And so they all rushed to him, one can of beer that he was using to celebrate, to toast the end of his college days. And he knew graduation was the next thing. And they threw drugs at his feet, had him up against the wall, took him in, and she saw them do this. And she actually said something about it to Internal Affairs. And from there, her life became a living hell. They drove her to the point of almost having a nervous breakdown. She ended up going out on disability. And then she came to me. And this is what happens. It's like we say these things, Manuel, don't we? We say these things to people. They don't want to believe it until it happens to them. Why do you have to wait until it happens to you? So now she wants everybody to come in and save her after she's gone through all this. She was afraid to even ride in her patrol car because they planted drugs in her patrol car, setting her up. And she happened to think about it. Her sixth sense told her, don't get in that car. And she went in and she was assigned a different car and they had to go back and take the drugs out of the car they had planted in her car. I mean, that's how corrupt. And that was the Dirty 38th. And they talked about in Philadelphia how they had to disband certain precincts because there was so much corruption in them.
Oh, yeah. It's become almost now a norm. That's the problem, you know. And this is one of the things that, you know, that I'm fighting now. My new piece of legislation and my new champion of causes that I'm pushing forward is to have legislation done that's requiring police officers to keep their body cams on throughout the whole tour. And the reason why is because they turn it off and turn it on like we say hello and goodbye. And we can't have that. We have to have that accountability. The only time that body cam should be being turned off is when you're going to the bathroom or when you're on meal break. That's it. Other than that, it needs to be on because we have too much corruption, too many cops getting away with it. And I'm not talking about just police officers. I'm talking about superiors. You see, a lot of the problem people don't understand, we keep talking about the bad cops, the corruption, but we're not talking about the bosses, the sergeants and the captains and the lieutenants that facilitate this corruption, that actually demand this type of corruption, demand these type of procedures and protocols of stopping people while driving while being black or walking while being Hispanic or walking because you're in the wrong neighborhood. Hell, I got stopped in Brooklyn, and I'm white. You know that. I'm a white Hispanic, and I got stopped driving 3 miles an hour. Let me say that again. Driving 3 miles an hour by a cop car while I was looking for parking. And I was driving slow on the street so I could see if somebody was in the car or, you know, I can get a spot because I was on a case. You know, the cop pulled me over and I said, officer, what's the reason? Just give me your ID. But officer, what's the reason for you stopping me? I was doing 3 miles an hour. I'm looking for parking. What are you doing here? What am I doing here? I'm in East New York in Brooklyn in a white Hummer. He's thinking I'm some kind of drug dealer, okay, and stops me illegally. Luckily, I caught it all on the recording, and now I reported it to CCRB. Unfortunately, he'll be found guilty because the evidence I have is unequivocal. The problem is, then we got the CCRB bringing back that same complaint back to the police department so they can judge themselves, try themselves, and punish themselves. This system's broke. We can't have this. And this is why I keep saying, and I said it on the other shows, we have to have an independent agency, a whole of justice, that can have the ability to try and investigate and hold administrative hearings who are not attached to the departments that they're investigating. And this is something that needs to be done nationwide. So now I'm pushing for this in Tennessee. I'm pushing for this in Georgia. I remember the last time I was on the show, the family that got abused at 4 o'clock in the morning when the cops had no warrant and they kicked open her door and put guns to the family's head. And the family was innocent. And you heard that audio, okay? And we need to have this nationwide, because what I'm proposing is a nationwide agency so that you'll get the same justice any state you go, just like when you go into McDonald's, you get the same hamburger no matter where state you go to. We have to have that same level of justice. And the problem with our system in the United States, the laws are different in every state. So everybody goes, well, that doesn't apply here, what applies in New York, or you're in Georgia now, boy. It ain't like that in Memphis. You see? And that's the problem. We're in the United States of America. It should not be a difference when it concerns to justice. It should be equal, neutral, and across the board. The problem is our system doesn't facilitate that. And this is what I'm fighting for. And I want to thank Law of the Land, because giving me a voice to help give the voiceless a voice. And this is why people have to support Law of the Land. This is why people have to support WBAI. Because we need people like Gloria Marshall. We need champions of the cause. We need people who are not scared to say, hey, this is wrong. Black is black, white is white, wrong is wrong. That's it. That's what Law of the Land points out. And this is what we need more of. Look what happened on Fox News. They just fired that reporter. Why? Because he was biased and caused them almost $1 billion. We need more
people. I thank you so much. I mean, I look at it and I hope people don't mind if I just put in the pledge sign, because that was such a wonderful testimonial. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 to support Law of the Land and WBAI. I thank you so much for that. And that was not something that we had planned at all to say. Here's one of my major concerns, because this show is called Law of the Land, because the U.S. Supreme Court helps create the law of the land with its cases. Tennessee versus Garner. Tennessee versus Garner is a 1985 U.S. Supreme Court case. Get this, Manuel, set in Memphis. The standard that the U.S. Supreme Court gave to the country that police officers are supposed to follow in order to use deadly force is a Memphis case. A Memphis case of a young man who was thought to be breaking into a home, who began to run, and the police officer couldn't catch up with the young man as he was climbing a fence, shot him in the back. Now, this is for an attempted burglary into a home at night, in the dark. The person, Garner, is running, and the police officer shoots the man in the back and kills him. The case is brought by the father in Memphis. And this was a case that took place initially in 1974. It gets to the Supreme Court and the ruling is in 1985. Think how long, and think also Memphis is where Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in 1968. So the violence in Memphis has been going on a long time, and I'm not saying it's the same thing. It wasn't the police department that did this to Dr. Martin Luther King. All I'm saying is Memphis has a long and troubled history when it comes to race relations. Memphis has issues when it comes to this police department that go back to 1974 in our case history. I'm sure there's much more before that. And the very standard that the police officers are supposed to be following is based on a Memphis case. And yet the Scorpion Unit and the police departments in Memphis are still murdering people. And the standard from the Supreme Court that we know now is not being followed, because the police department are not, they're, a police officer is not to use deadly force unless they encounter deadly force. But all they have that's to say true. Now, is this right? Oh, I fear for my life. That's all that's the get out of jail free card. I fear for my life.
Well, that's the thing about this case that I'm working on in Memphis. The cops said that the car was suspicious. What was suspicious? They were driving a white Lexus with three black guys. There was nothing suspicious. They just stopped them because they were fishing to see whatever they could get. And it went wrong. And the young black man questioned them and says, you know, why are you violating our rights? And argued them, and the cops shot him. You know, and this is the sad thing is that, you know, Memphis, like I said, you know, it's like Georgia. The corruption there, it's like a fine wine. It is fermented. It is matured. It is accepted over there. Hell, it's part of the normal practice. Okay? And that's the problem. You know, and people are scared. They're terrified. I mean, look at the black family, dude. They went in the house at 4 o'clock in the morning, and nothing happens to these cops. I mean, we expose it. We keep on because the system is protecting it. We have to stop protecting corruption. We have to speak out. You know, I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, Martin Luther King talked about the corruption and facing it. Malcolm X said knowledge is power. Well, people, we have to have the knowledge on how to defend ourselves against this. And one of the techniques that I tell my clients, and I'm going to tell all of you out there, and you might want to get a pen and paper, and that is you need to buy yourself a spy watch, a hidden spy camera, a spy button, a spy camera, a spy pen, okay? Hell, they even have a spy coffee cup where the lid records, okay? And you can still drink your coffee. We need to have this type of technology with us to protect us against the corruption that's currently going on. If you don't carry something to protect yourself, I promise you, you're going to be in the worst position. And that'll be your word against the police officer's word. Take the word and advice from my mother. My mother always told me, Manuel, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I never leave my house without a camera. Never leave my house without a spy watch or a spy pen or some kind of hidden device which will protect me. And this is, Gloria, how I've won every case, and I expose the corruption. But so many young black, Hispanic, and white, and matter of fact, the corruption I'm experiencing now is transcend color. It's really gone beyond black and Hispanic. It's everybody. I just keep going to state after state, and it's insane. And the sad thing is, you know, many states that are calling me, I have to turn them down because I only cover North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, New York, California, and Florida. I'm only one guy. You know, I'm covering all those states, but all the other states keep calling me, and I keep giving this advice. So people, please, spend $100. Spend $50 on a spy pen. Go to spyassociate.com. There's different things on Amazon that you can purchase that these devices will protect you. And I beg you, please, because when you call me, I'll stand by you and we'll go and fight them. I don't care how many and who they are and how late at night. Hell, call me anytime. My number is 347-867-6242. And Gloria will tell you, I rarely sleep. So if you got to call me, call me. And if I don't pick up, call me like I owe you child support. Because I will get to your phone call and text me, okay? Only thing I ask you is, please don't call me when I'm on the Gloria Marshall show. Because every time, right now, I've been on this show right now, and my phone has not stopped ringing. And so I know it's because I'm on your show. So when I'm off the show, call me and I'll answer your questions and tell you where to get the help. You know, and Gloria, you know, another thing, in the beginning of the show, you asked me about what cases I got going on. And I told you a little bit about the Memphis. Now I want to tell you about one that I have the name that I can put out. And you've done many shows on this kid, Pedro Hernandez. He's the kid that was filmed with me in the documentary, Crime and Punishment, which you can see on Hulu or you can see it on YouTube. Long story short, I'm in court fighting a case with him on a trial where the prosecutor has held back the evidence and made deals with the witnesses to lie on Pedro Hernandez. So this case is about Pedro being going to meet a girl for breakfast. He goes to pick her up at 7 in the morning, all right? He didn't know that the girl was a player. She was dating like 3 or 4 different guys at the same time. So the funny thing is she just gets out from a date from another guy 2 hours prior, and then calls Pedro at 7 in the morning. Let's go have breakfast. So Pedro, not knowing that this girl's dating other guys, he goes over there to go have breakfast. So when he goes to pick her up, who shows up again? The guy that she just left 2 hours prior. Now he's there with two other guys. They get into a fight with Pedro. This is all on video, just to let you know. And they stab Pedro 4 times. And he had to get more than 25 stitches. It's a miracle that he lived. They stabbed him with a scalpel, which is worse than a knife. This is what the surgeons used to perform surgery. Long story short, the prosecutor and the cops, they don't arrest the kid that stabs Pedro. They arrest Pedro for defending himself 3-1. Now, this is on film. I'm in court, and are you ready for this? They tell the kid that stabbed Pedro, if you testify against Pedro, we will not prosecute you. So, of course, the kid takes that deal. Now, here's the crazy thing. Comes the day for court. Their witness said he doesn't remember anything. He lied. He did not say the truth about anything. He said he didn't recall anything. He's seen stabbing Pedro. He don't know if that was him. I mean, it's on video. And then here's where it gets ironic. As soon as the court ends, the kid is walking outside, and the prosecutor with 4 detectives verbally attack him in the street and are standing there screaming and cursing and pointing. And guess who caught that on film? I did. Okay? But do you think the judge cares? No. Do you think the judge cares about showing how the prosecutor is intimidating witnesses, witness tampering, and they did nothing? No matter
who's
what
the judge?
Well, the district attorney was District Attorney DeGorsi with the Bronx DA. And he's a new district attorney, but he fits right in. His corruption is full-blown. The judge was Judge Miller. And let me tell you, it's you want to vomit when you're in here in this case. And you see, you know, the kid showing his innocence. And the district attorney lies and lies. You want to know that they even took the video of the fight and the stabbing, and the district attorney edited the video so that it would not show that their witnesses were making Trinitario gang signs. Now, let me tell everybody, just to remind you, the Trinitarios are the gang that killed Junior. Remember that case, Justice for Junior?
Yes.
Well, these kids that stabbed Pedro were part of that gang. And in the video, you see them making the gang signs, okay, for the Trinitarios. The DA conveniently edited that from the video. So now when the defense attorney turned around and said, we're not going to have the whole video played, they left out all the parts that showed Pedro's innocence and showed that he had the right to defend himself. So now the defense attorney screams out and says, hey, Your Honor, this video is not complete. So they play it again. Now they show the complete video showing the gang signs. Do you know that the prosecutor tried to say, well, maybe private investigator Gomez took the video? And I almost rolled over laughing in the court, because here's the video. When I give it, it's the whole complete video. Why would anybody want to take out them making gang signs other than the prosecutor, so that it would bolster his case that Pedro was fighting regular guys, not gang members? And again, the judge conveniently protected the prosecutor. So I kept looking up, why is this happening? Why is the judge constantly on the side of the prosecutor and not letting these types of evidence in? Why are they fighting everything? So I looked up the judge's history. What did I find? The judge was a Bronx prosecutor. This is our problem with our system. Where do you go? And we've had this conversation before, and this is why I'm still pushing hard for the Truthfulness and Decision Act. Where does a poor family, no, forget about it. Where does a rich family, a middle-class family, a poor family go to report a corrupt judge? where do you go? Because you going to the grievance committee is like me trying to win Lotto and kiss J-Lo. It's not going to happen. Okay. You know, the grievance committee is judges judging judges. Again, we have to have that independent agency. We have to have that agency. People, please exercise your First Amendment rights. And that's the right to petition the government to correct grievances. We have to write bills. We have to push the demonstration through legislation, not out in the street flipping cars, seeing no justice, no peace. That don't get you nowhere. We have to do it through legislative demonstration. We have to be unified, just like Martin Luther King was with Brown versus Board of Ed, when they turned around and fought for interracial schools. All right? We have to do the same thing here. Miranda rights, it's a joke. You can ask any cop. I've seen it through hundreds of cops in 10 different states. They don't even read you your rights, even though it's a federal law, even though it's a federal mandate, even though you're taught that in the academy. Again, where do we go, people? Where do we go?
I think that's the scariest part. I've asked this question many times. Who's going to protect us? Who's watching the watchers? Who's watching the watchers? And I think that WBAI, in bringing this to the attention, and once again, is to empower, but inspire, but also get people, as you've said, to act in the way that you can. And there are many ways we can act. And one way, we can go to your website and learn more about this proposed legislation. Give us your website.
Black Ops Private Investigators. Again, let me say it slowly for you. It's Black, B-L-A-C-K, Ops, O-P-S, Private Investigators. Or you can call me at 347-867-6242. Again, 347-867-6242. And I'll send you the site, send you the legislation, and you can support me and support us because we have to be together. You know, remember, everybody, it's not a black thing. It's not a Hispanic thing. It's not a white thing. It's an everybody thing. This is America. It's about life, liberty, and justice. The problem is America's forgotten that. And we have to remind them that.
And I want to, in our last moments, we have 2 minutes left. One thing that really concerns me overall, I want you lifted up and protected. And I hope the listeners are sending out not just good vibes, but deep prayers of your protection, because you are doing God's work, amazing work, the work that's needed to be done. And it falls within the skill of you having tours of duty and active warfare, being former NYPD, and also taking all those skills and using them for the good of the regular person. I can't say too much about you, Manuel, because you mean that much to me. But I also want people to understand that one person can't do this. You can't sit back like this is a reality show and just watch other people do the work when you can do work as well. Not only can you support Law of the Land so that we have a platform by which he can tell you about these cases, but also I'm looking at his proposed legislation. The lawyers out there, you might be home sick today and you happen to turn on the radio, are those people who have the influence, the ability to push legislation, those people who are working within the government. Go look at this legislation, work with him, help us all move forward. Don't keep your talents to yourself. And the fact that he is here on WBAI, this means that for you to be listening to this show is not a coincidence. This is providence. This means you're supposed to be helping him do this good work. How can you help him do this good work? That's the question you ask yourself. How can I help do this good work? And go online, reading this legislation, figuring out how you can work with him, how he can work with you, and that we can all be better protected. In our last 30 seconds together, Manuel, what do you have to tell us? Because we know that you're doing great work. Give us your information again. And you, of course, will, as long as I have a show, you'll be back on it.
Amen. I want you all to please go on Black Ops Private Investigators. download my legislation. Let's make it go viral. That's how you can help me. Send it everywhere. Send it and demand it. Scream for it. Again, Black Ops Private Investigators. Again, send it everywhere. My number is 347-867-6242. And I want you to support WBAI. I want you to support Law of the Land, because it helps me give the voice to the voiceless. And that is the epitome of Law of the Land, Gloria Marshall Show. She gives a voice to the voiceless to empower us. So I want to thank you, Gloria, and thank you for the privilege of being on the show. Thank you for the privilege of being my friend and a fighter for justice.
And God bless you always. Thank you so much, and I'll see you all on the radio.